Happy April, everybody. It's good to see you. We'll give everyone a couple moments to arrive. Right. Well, it's good to see everyone. For those of you that were in Charlotte a couple of weeks ago, I can't believe how quickly the time has gone. It's gone so fast. And also I miss being together already. And Deborah and Christina and whoever else comes that weren't there, we missed you so much and thought about you. I feel like part of you was there in spirit with us. And you know, our call today is going to be an integration and follow-up call for the shadow work. And I think that even if you weren't there, you'll be able to, you know, take golden pieces for yourself from our time together today. Before we jump in, just a reminder, we have only one retreat left. Oh my gosh. It's in May. Last one is a real good one. We're going to be looking at boundaries and our yeses and our nos, our boundaries with others, our boundaries with ourselves. It's different than all of our other retreats. I actually even play a video during that retreat, if you can believe it. And we do drawing, and it's a lot of fun. So, and it's also the closing of the program. So please, if you can, be there live. What's the date? That's a good question. Let me look, Carlita. It is on May 18th, which is a Thursday. Okay. So, as you all know, the integration calls are mostly led by you. I have a couple of questions to kind of move us along and, you know, help us go deeper, but it's really what you want to bring to this call to support you to integrate. And I'll start with what have you been seeing and observing around shadow, either for yourself or in your client work? What are maybe some celebrations or case studies or things that you've been observing, or questions that you have that you want to bring forward? Let's start there. What have you been seeing and noticing? And how has the homework been going if you've been doing it? Who wants to share?
I'll share.
Great, Mindy. And then Carlita.
Sorry, I realized I was off of mute. Sorry. So just to kind of follow up more on like what I posted in Facebook, that exercise we did with the hyper and the hypo just really resonated with me. And I have such strong visuals. I guess that's one of the ways I can put my good imagination to work. And it's been really helpful for me, again, to see those, having the visual of, you know, there's the center part, that there's a spectrum, and that I don't have to be one extreme or the other, and that I can kind of slide up and down. And I don't know why, it just really works for me. It reminds me a little bit of that game. Is it foosball, where there's like the metal things that you shift back and forth? Yeah. So again, I can bring some humor into it. And It's just so obvious now that I mean, we've been talking about shadow and all this all along, but for some reason, physically doing that exercise gave me a much clearer understanding of it. I see it more. Mm. And it's given me some that freedom to kind of just shift back and forth, and then it's okay to do that.
So. Yeah, I love all of that. There are a couple pieces I want to pull from practitioner point of view, and then I have a personal question on the personal end of things. But two things that Mindy just shared that I think are important to remember and note are, number one, the lighthearted, right? That you said you're having fun with it. And it's just a reminder for all of us, yeah, shadow is serious stuff, but the moment we make it like heavy and it has to be so serious and all of the things, like that's one of the reasons why it was put into shadow in the first place, because of the shame and the difficulty and how hard it is and all the things. And so we wanna, as practitioners, I mean, not that, you know, sometimes lightheartedness can invalidate someone. We want to be conscious of that as well. We really want to be thinking about the energy that we're holding shadow with, the energy that we're bringing the container when we're working with shadow, and the ways that we're supporting our clients to do the work, but in a way that is bringing it out of the shadow and into, you know, lighthearted, light, both of those words, right? It's like this, as opposed to making it heavier. So first, let me just pause on that. There are a couple other pieces I want to come back to from what Mindy said, but anybody want to have any thoughts on this piece that you want to add, or something that you've noticed for yourself on this lighthearted piece with shadow? Or what it's like clicking for you as we're looking at this.
To have some humor when you're taking them from hyper to hypo. And some are easier than others. So my two clients, one was an engineer and he was so serious. And the other one was a client that was emotional. She's moving to Ireland. And she was easier for me to work with than the person that was the engineer.
Because
I have to think differently. I have to think more structured logically. How does it fit in his world? He wasn't going there with the emotions. He was like, okay, I'm a perfectionist, I like to control things. And but it did work really well putting him standing in that role and really like this, and then going to the other role and slouching. So for him, it worked for him really to feel in his body what the two were.
Yeah,
because I wasn't getting it with my words. So
Yeah. Okay, good. So this is this other piece. And then coming back to what Mindy was talking, you know, one of the things that Mindy mentioned was the visual really helped her, right? And what Cindy's talking about is the somatic, the feeling, the position in the body. So just as a reminder for everyone that the techniques have different kind of tools embedded in them for different ways of learning or different entry points for clients to be able to kind of grab on to the meaning and go deeper. For some clients, it's going to be that visual, you know, in that particular exercise of the slide, and the seeing the two extremes and the feeling that we can, like, we can slide back and forth with this energy as to accommodate whatever situation is in front of us appropriately. For others, it's going to be going into that body place, feeling the energy of it, that is we're going to want to emphasize more and really support them in. Good. Mindy, what I wanted to ask you is, so with kind of everything that you've been noticing the last few weeks, and with the humor and with the understanding that you can slide back and forth, what, I don't know if shift is the right word, but what shifts have you seen in yourself and in how you're responding to the situations around you? What are you noticing?
Good question. I guess one of the things I notice is that when I'm feeling annoyed or resentful, I don't shove it down. I'm like, oh, this, like it's valid, and how could I not? And so that helps a bit. And that's why when I'm feeling that, instead of just like, oh, no, I have to give more, I actually go kind of sit in the corner with the selfish one and kind of hear why that's popping up. And it's like, it just kind of gives me like, it doesn't necessarily make the situation better, but it just makes it easier to handle because I'm not trying to force myself to feel something I'm not feeling. And that's a big thing. And it's still a work in progress. So,
yeah.
But it just takes the, we talk about it, softens it. It just kind of takes the wind out of the sails a little bit. And it's like, it's just okay. It's just what it is. And so I can actually have both things side by side. I can feel some resentment and be okay with that and still go help because I have to, or do whatever it is that I have to do, you know? And so that's been really nice. It makes things a bit easier. I guess I'm not putting as much energy into fighting it, and that feels really good. And I think that's the more important thing for me, even though it's not always comfortable still. And there are times I'm like, what am I doing? Or I forget and I have to bring myself back. But in general, it frees up some energy for other things. That's what it feels like.
I love that. That feels huge and like so many wins. Like you're saying, it's in process. It will always be in process. And also it doesn't necessarily change. Sometimes it will change the outer situation, but you know, for the most part, it doesn't change the outer situation. But what I am hearing is it's allowing you to be more authentic.
Yeah.
Number one, more authentic with yourself. Mm-hmm. Number two, even if you're taking the same actions anyway to care for others, it feels like you're doing it in a more empowered way. Like you made the decision versus feeling like you just had to and having that resentment. And then the third thing that's just so like moving what you said is that it's not, you're not tying up so much in your energy around thinking about it and the resentful and the, like, all of those
cycles.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would say that also it keeps me from going to the other extreme that I don't want to be in. I don't seem to be able to go. It's like this, I always feel like I've had an internal compass that's kept me from going way too far one way or the other. It kind of always brings me back. And that's what it feels like. This is more of a compass that I can, you know, vary and shift, but I don't seem to be going way over in the other direction that's not going to help me as often. So that I have found, yeah, that's another thing I'm noticing.
I love that. Yes. It helps you stay more in that aligned, those aligned spaces. Beautiful. Good. Carlita.
Hi. I have just been amazed at how, like you said this at the beginning of the shadow retreat, but like, it's really like this incredibly multidimensional. It's almost like what I'm encountering in myself is this whole other me that has everything that is also part of me that isn't claimed. It's like this whole other being. It feels that multidimensional. And there's just so many fascinating, I mean, I'm looking at my astrology lately, like the things that are happening there. And I'm looking at work I'm doing with this somatic hypnotist person and things that are coming out. And it's just like this whole other person. And so she keeps getting more names added. So she's the entitled one, but the one who doesn't have to like earn anything, but there's a piece of relaxation and type B personality to it. And like the failure, like the one who's like deserving no matter what. It's like, and the one who like, you know, it's just like this whole other side of me that is there. It's fascinating how rich it is. And I've just been really enjoying that because it really is the medicine I need. I'm too much in my type A on the inside lately, even if I'm not getting shit done on the outside, like if I'm still feeling all that pressure. So to like let this other side in just in new ways has been really, really lovely. But it's fascinating how really rich it is.
Yes, I'm getting chills the whole time you're talking about this part of you and the richness and the multidimensionality. I felt it in the retreat, but I feel it even more now, a few weeks out, like this appreciation for this part of you and the possibilities that this one holds in the reclaiming of you, of all of you. Yeah. Have you been following any directions from this one?
You know, it's funny how like during the retreat, it was kind of edgy to think about that. Cause I was like, I want a vacation, but a vacation doesn't actually even sound exciting. Like, I don't even know what would be fun if how I could even relax. Like I would need to have a friend go with me for me to relax and actually have that vacation. And that's actually doable, you know, and I'm talking with my best friend lately about just things we might want to do. And it's like, just realizing on a day-to-day basis too, there's a lot of other ways of being. Like, I think it's also been showing up in difficulty sleeping. And like in the past week, I was having worse and worse insomnia night after night. And it was fucking with my night and then fucking with my day at, you know, because I had no sleep and I'd stay in bed late. And it was like, okay, so like, what is this actually asking of me? So, you know, one night I took a weed gummy and it was so nice to like have cannabis for the first time in a long time. And like, just actually just enjoy that, which my type B person that I used to be much more in touch with was totally fine with way more often, you know, and I slept like a baby and it was so that was like bringing in a kind of vacation in for my evening with like, it was so luscious. And like, so I'm letting it kind of give me moments and keeping my feelers out for a vacation too.
No, but I love that because yeah, the vacation is kind of like the bigger, more dramatic, which is great. And yes, vacation. But what I'm hearing is you're starting to consider integrating this also into everyday life and into moments so that it's not this compartmentalized, here is the week that the entitled one gets its expression. In some ways, the bringing it into the everyday can be even more powerful long-term because now it's playing with your type A and figuring out how to work together and right and all of that. So nice.
You know what was also edgy for me was not signing up for either of your programs. That was really very much in my shadow, was just saying I'm not even like, it would have been awesome. Like I know that. And at the same time, like that deeper part of me was like, I don't want anything else on my calendar. I want you to clear my calendar.
I am entitled to this time.
I even told a guy, I think he was trying to date me, but that wasn't clear. But then he starts using this other stuff as a pretext for texting and calling me. And I told him, I was like, I wasn't inviting this much contact.
I love it. I love it.
So he told him, like, not to contact me so much. And maybe I was like, maybe we can go skiing next Friday, but like, I'm not going to be making a decision ahead of time. I'm into being flaky right now. So if that's okay with you, then maybe we'll go skiing next Friday. But like, just the whole no.
Yes. I love it. Like true ownership of, yeah, it sounds like not even flaky, but just like, I get to decide about my time when I feel like deciding about my time.
Right? Exactly. I'm like, I'm flying by the seat of my pants here. So I'm not going to commit to anything until like probably the day of.
Mm-hmm. I love it. I love it. So well done.
Thank you.
Stacey.
Oh, where do I start? I think there's like three big things I could share and lots of little small things. I think, thank you, Mindy and Carlita, for that share. I relate to what you're saying.
Stacey, I'm going to pause you just for one moment. I'm so sorry. I didn't. Tracy just joined us. Hi, Tracy. I'm so glad you're here. And we're sharing. I just asked an open question about what's been moving through you since our shadow work, celebrations, case studies. What have you been noticing for yourself and your clients. All right, go ahead.
So briefly, the case study with a client was that even though I hadn't printed out the handouts from the retreat, I had been reviewing them and just rereading notes from the retreat, and spontaneously, rather kind of in a funny, lighthearted, playful way, I asked a client if they wanted to stand up because they looked really rigid. And I was noticing I was in my chair, and I'd always been in my chair. And when she stood up, it was like everything changed. And then I was moving, and she was moving. And, you know, I was literally like, okay, we're going to step over here. And then I couldn't remember which technique was which exactly, but I ended up merging them. I did the sliding thing. And then once she found this spot over here, that felt like, okay, I was just trusting my gut, like, okay. And then it became, I said, can we play with this? Because she was getting scared. And we laughed and we joked. And then that was the doorway in. And she just had this physical response, this like guiding her through the somatic piece of what does it feel like in her body and where was the energy? And I got so much personally out of that after. So I'm celebrating that. I put a big post in the Facebook group. And I realized I wrote it from the channeled voice of my inner crazy one. And I let it fly. And it felt so true and honest. And it was really long when I first posted it. And then I went back and I had like that vulnerability hangover, like, holy shit, what did I just post? It sounds really nuts. Is my writing even making any sense? And then I was getting the little care emojis, like, people were reaching out and concerned for me. And I'm thinking, oh, what did I just create? You know, am I being responsible for how my writing lands, or is it just self-indulgent self-exploration? And so I sat with that for a while and then that little Hestia girl, really, you know, what she wants is more of that. She wants more of that deep dive into self. And so I gave it to her, and I've been journaling every morning, and I've been creating more of a practice of like, what does this little girl who so values the magic of creativity at home and of creating an environment where I invite people in to my secret space, where I feel alive, where I feel safe, where, you know, what does that mean for my marketing and my offerings and my copy? And I don't have the answer to that yet, but I'm celebrating that I morphed my desk into a stand-up desk without buying one yet. And I feel like this has changed a lot of the work that I do with clients. It's helping me remember that it's really what a lot of what I do with people is about the body and about energy. And the other thing that I wanted to say about my inner crazy one is that the fallout that I felt after posting that was another layer of learning. I went back in and I edited, and I rode the wave of my emotion instead of just like splenically shooting my intuition out there and then saying, I'm done. I didn't overthink it. Look, I did it. I went back and then I read it again. I'm like, this does not really express what I really wanted to express, which is tying it into the lesson of what I brought back from myself so that people could really understand what I'm actually, why I'm actually sharing that piece of writing is because it's normalizing. I think it's normalizing for people who think they're crazy, for people like me at a very early age, and I can't even remember how far back it goes, that I believed I was crazy. It's like there is no other way. It was always there. And I was able to connect with the energy of that in my lower back. This week, I got some really amazing energy healing work. And that ball of tightness in my lower back comes from that belief of that that relationship with myself, like that needing attention and that it wasn't met, and that it deserves to be met and it deserves to have a voice. And that, you know, that sliding for me of that, you know, when I stood up and I walked around and I was like that egoic, I deserve attention. I'm like so crazy. Like you all love me and look at me. That can actually be an overly egoic place to come from in its shadow. And then on the other side of that one, it's like the hypo itself has an optimized and a shadow. And then the other side has an optimized and a shadow. And it's like kind of, I've been shifting my realization that the niche that I've been unable to find to like have that front door touch of a program that allows people to step into working with me, instead of just saying all the time, I'm a transformational coach and a healer, and I help all these different types of situations. I've been really working on trying to find that front door offer and speaking it in a way like a caveman or a five-year-old would understand. And I'm not using ChatGPT for that. and I had this big realization and a celebration is that like what my clients have repeatedly been saying over the many years of coaching, when I go back to the recordings and I go back and I look at what they're saying, it's like the result they want is a shift in their relationships. And I've never actually thought of myself as a relationships coach, right? Like it's always been about transformation on the inside, self-worth, better relationship with yourself. But if you were to speak in the language of what someone would say they're willing to spend money on, is like they want to get to the bottom of the problems they're having in their relationships. And that's what they've been saying. It's like blind. I've been blind to it.
Mm-hmm. This is so great. So, wow. I mean, so much, Stacey, and so much gold coming from this. So first, just to work backwards, this being able to kind of see this information that you've been receiving, it sounds like for a while now, of a possible front door to meet the people that are in front of you where they're at with what their most top of mind needs are. And of course, you know, and I know, and we all know here, they're going to get into relationship with self through, it's not just a front door offer, right? But it's like a front door to get to relationship with self is that relationship with others. So I love that you're coming to that and seeing that. And I can feel the energy and the juice for you in the like the creation of it and in the offering of it. So well done. As you were sharing your inner process with all of this, I want to reflect this for you and also just as a learning for everyone, you know, what I heard one of the pieces here for you, with the posting, and the channeling of the crazy one, and then the going back ultimately and shifting some of the words. What I see in that is you gave yourself permission to go, not to be dragged to the hyper, but you actually gave yourself permission, like we did at our retreat and through the exercises that we learned, to intentionally walk right in to harness that energy. And a lot came through into that post, right? And there was a lot of gold from the harnessing intentionally of that energy. And then from there, not out of shame, like maybe you had your right afterwards, the vulnerability hangover moment, but you didn't do anything. But then you took time, not with shame, but because you allowed yourself there, energetically, you ended up moving to the exact aligned place. You took all the juice and the energy from intentionally being in the hyper, and you edited to what felt amazing for you.
Yeah.
So in a way, that whole process, can you all see that is so much of the hypo process to find the alignment in intentional, beautiful, effective, empowering ways. So beautifully done. I don't think you would have found the gold if you would have stayed in like a narrow place without being willing to look. Yeah.
I feel like I thank you for saying that. That whole arc of initially putting it out and then freaking out and calling Mindy and Tracy reaching out and saying, you want to talk? It was like so exactly the container that I needed to explore this voice. The voice, like you could do a whole program on this, Joanna, on channeling your marketing voice. Who are you? Who are you being? It's so rich. And I want to keep going. And I want to explore this even further. I could keep talking about this for hours. So I'm going to give someone else a chair. Thank you.
Thank you. And just one last piece I want to pull from Stacey's share. Again, what we said before, but it is important to say when Stacey was sharing the work that she did with her client, again, this jovial, this fun, this bringing it to a lighthearted place, it helps remove the shame and gives our clients more permission to be willing to look at this thing that they think is so terrible and so awful and brings up, you know, all that anxiety of, oh my gosh, this is a part of me. What? I can't even, right? Good. Cindy.
Well, my perfectionist self, I thought I could just do the exercises and I could just be in my little bubble and do it. But what happened when I came home, or actually the day we were leaving, is I got an email of somebody nitpicking that I wasn't perfect enough. And Healing Touch is the program that I'm with, and that went to my boss, which then brought up a lot of heat and anger and angst about, oh shit, I'm going to get fired. I immediately went to, I was going to get fired over one statement. And then a statement that Carlita said to me is like, well, how did you get from, that comment to letting it go and drumming and that, which was really a good comment to have, because I had all this anger, resentment. I was going to get back at them. I was going wild in my mind what I was going to do. And then remembered something that we had done in the workshop and switched to drumming and reclaiming my wholeness and me, and that's only one person's opinion. And I was letting one person's opinion change my whole somatic being. And this was the Friday, and I was teaching the next Wednesday. So I needed to pull my shit together by the time I got home and to teach. And so I just kept re-looking at it so that I could be in a space of not only enjoying the workshop on Wednesday night, and then it was Friday, Saturday, but not being afraid that somebody was going to nitpick me or complain. Because I was going to go into that workshop thinking, who's going to get me? Who should I be looking at? Like, I was like this spot. It was like crazy stuff. Yeah. He's being like crazy, Stacey. It's like crazy stuff. Who's after me? And this work really helped to shift that.
Yeah. Yeah. So beautifully done, Cindy, for sticking with it. And, one thing I want to pull on what you said, and one thing I want to reflect for everyone. So this last piece that Cindy said of who's out to get, right? I was imperfect. Who's out to get me? With so many of our aspects of ourselves that we put into shadow, that's the undercurrent energy that we may not even realize is happening so much of the time. If I show this, who is out to get me? If they know that I am this imperfect or needy or entitled or any of the things, what's going to happen to me? Because it is so bad that I am this. And then all of this energy goes towards making sure nobody sees that we don't even see that, right? Like that is so much the definition of the shadow. And what I see happened for you in your process, and again, we're all in process, is that yes, that came up, yeah. But you didn't push the imperfection back into the shadow. You allowed yourself to be in the discomfort of that fear and to get regulated. And eventually you did, it sounds like, with that fear, right? And that is part of where the power is here, because I wish that I could promise you and everybody else that there isn't, the more that we claim our shadows, that there people aren't going to have problems with it. But that would be a lie. So for example, for myself, over the years, as I have reclaimed more and more my selfish one, that has meant not being the perfect good daughter that I was always, like, I was trained to be. And that has meant that, like, my parents, there has been fallout from that. There has been fallout from that. And my work has been to let them have their experience of me making space for myself when I need it, and for me to be okay with that. Like, that is where the freedom can be found. And some days I do better with it, and some days I do worse with it, right? Like, no perfection or pedestal here, but that's the work. That is a piece of the work. It is being willing to be ourselves and meet our needs. When our highest self knows it's not hurting others if they were inhabiting all of themselves and their needs. Beautiful. Thank you. Tracy.
Wow. I'm just going to let that land for a moment, being all of ourselves, like how beautiful that is, right? Like, that is the journey. So thank you so much for sharing that. I received that from myself. And I'm so grateful to be here. I was holding space for a group of people in my club on Clubhouse, and I'm done, and I'm like, okay, ground my energy. And something says, look at your clock. And I'm like, oh my gosh, it's 12:18. And I literally was like running. I told my son, I'll fix you something to eat when I'm done. Like, you just got to be on your own right now. Like, I want to be here. And I'm so grateful that I was able to come in here and listen to the end of Carlita share, wishing you love, sister. It was so great to be with you in community, and Stacy and Cindy, and oh my. I will make this as short as possible while holding space for what is coming and living through me. So I wasn't exactly sure what to expect because it was my first shadow retreat, you know, so I came in without any attachments, and it was almost like the shadow was working on me from the time I was sitting in the airport when some things were like kind of coming up until I moved into the work. And what the way that the shadow showed up for me was not wanting to be the know-it-all, or for people to think I was the know-it-all in sharing, right? Like, that was the I don't even remember. I guess that was the hyper. Was that the, yeah, the hyper? And so the hypo was like not sharing at all, right? Which is not what I do. But my mind was like, well, yeah, you don't want people to think you're too much or that you're a know-it-all, right? And then acting that out, which was hilarious, right? Like, that caricature of that was hilarious, because I'm like, I would never be that, right? But my mind is like, you may not think you're that, but you, that's how you think, right? So doing that work, I had so many opportunities where my shadow was like, okay, you've done the work. The work isn't over. I have had about 7 opportunities to speak up for myself, to the point that it's like so hilarious that I'm like, okay, shadow, this is what we're doing again. Okay. All right. What do I do with this? Right. So I've had this beautiful opportunity for me to come back to the remembrance of who I am and stand in my truth. Wow, my nerves were like, oh my gosh, are you about to say this thing? It's almost to the point now where there's like this rallying cry from in me that's like, you are going to continue saying the thing, even when you quiver, even when, you know, that voice says, oh my gosh, like, what are people going to think? Like, I feel like a lot of that has gone out the window. And I do believe that doing the shadow work and coming in person and being there and holding space is what has allowed something in me to unlock, to be able to speak up for myself and to also release things that I hadn't said that I released when I was there, when I released when I came home. And it's just been this beautiful, it's almost like that liminal space of the mystery, right? Like, what was that invisible energy that was holding me back from speaking of things so that I could give them room to breathe and release myself from all of the ways that I was thinking about, well, how people spoke about me or what did they say about what I'm sharing? Or even when people would say things like, I love the way you speak, you know, your cadence. I didn't hear that. I heard the way I speak is boring. It's not this hyper energetic. That shadow retreat released all of that. And I'm so, so grateful because I have so many opportunities now to speak up and to speak out and hold space for all that lives within me while also holding space for others, but not being attached to any ways that they're thinking about what I'm saying, because I know I'm speaking it in truth and love and I'm not speaking it to hurt anyone, but I am absolutely going to hold space for myself and my voice and the vibration of my words. So I'm grateful for that. And then also how the shadow showed up is I have a client and she's so amazing. And we were doing some shadow work and I was asking questions and she got so irritated with me. Like I could see it coming up like, I don't know. I hear what you're asking me, but I don't know, right? Because the part of her inside was like, I don't know. That's why I'm hiring you so you can tell me. And because I was really in my own energetics, and the not allowing the annoyance to shake me where I was like, oh, let me just tell her something so she feels better. I just allowed the pause and the silence. And as there was more silence, she got more angry. So we sat with that. I shared a few things. This past week, she said to me, I'm so grateful for the questions that you asked me because it allowed me to keep my inner self. Mm-hmm. Which means she's so proud of herself and celebrating herself because she did and is doing the inner work and not waiting for me to tell her because that's not my role, right? Whether I'm coaching or healing, like it, I'm here in the mystery in that liminal space, holding space for you to bring all of you because the magic is in the mystery, right? So I am really grateful and feel so amazing. And I know that the work is beginning. It's only beginning. I am not at the mountaintop. So thank you.
I love all of that. Thanks for sharing. Yes, I love that you ended with it's only beginning. It's so true. It's like, it is not a once and done. And now it's you're on a path. It's almost like, I'm sorry to everyone, but now that you've seen it, you can't unsee it and you're on the path, right? I just so much of what you shared, a couple of pieces I want to pull on. First of all, yay on having and recognizing all of these opportunities where you get to speak your truth fully. And it feels like from what you've shared, you've been able to do that without the fear of what are they going to think? How is it going to land? Being responsible for the experience. As you were speaking, I just like the word that kept on coming up for me is freedom, like a freedom to really inhabit who you are. And I know you get so many like channels and downloads and the freedom to share those. It feels huge, just huge. And the piece with your client, a couple of things. For you and for everyone. First, I love it because she almost wanted you to be the know-it-all in that moment, right? She's like, I don't know. That's why I hired you. You tell me, right? But we can see how aligned this energy is for you, because in that moment, that wasn't for you to take up that know-it-all space, right? But hold the space for her to find it for herself. So well done in the slide and finding the aligned piece in each moment. What I'm curious about that I think would be helpful for everyone to hear is, how did you end that session with the client? So she was annoyed at you. She was impatient. She didn't like that you were asking these tough questions and not answering them. And I hear a couple of weeks later, she thanked you. But do you remember, would it be helpful to kind of walk us through how you navigated that and how that session ended?
Yes. So in the moment, what came through for me was, her being in her own energy and her own presence versus being in the world of everybody telling her who she is and what she does. So we started with some self-awareness so she could be aware of what she was feeling, right? Because it was almost like her body was here, but her mind was all out there. So it was this beautiful remembrance of coming back to self through self-awareness and breath work. So as I guided her through this breath work, she began, I could see that she was softening, coming back into herself. Like she even like a couple of times did her shoulders like that just to bring her presence back into herself. So she felt more grounded. And I asked her the question. I said, what are you feeling in this moment? And she did this. So she already knew to just take a breath so that she could be present in herself. And she shared with me what she was feeling, you know? And I honored what she felt, and I honored it by, I was very quiet and I just sat there. Because I knew in that moment, the most beautiful thing was to give her words room to breathe by her sharing them so that her own inner self could hear them and then feel them and then sit with them from a place of curiosity, not judgment. So once she did that, tears started to flow and I held space for them. And then after that, I noticed she took this deep breath and she sighed. It was almost like all of this tension, this energy that was within her, she allowed herself to release that. So I think it was a beautiful moment for her to witness herself and for me to hold space for what she was witnessing. And then she just said to me, I'm going to sit with this and journal this. Mm-hmm. And I said, is there anything else that your inner self would like to share with you? And she said, I'm proud of myself. And that was it. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm proud of myself. Because she's still sitting with, I'm proud of myself, because I was able to feel it, to share, because she's always saying, I don't know the words. I feel, I don't know the words. Yes. Right. Which is a story and a belief, but it's allowing her to come up with it, because then she felt so much more empowered and celebrating herself that she is feeling and seeing her own self do the inner work.
Yes. So I love it. So beautifully done. So, just to pull pieces for everyone. So Tracy, first of all, you held your ground, not like in a staunch way, but you trusted yourself and you trusted your client. And you trusted that she knew what was best for herself, and you were willing to be in the discomfort with her versus to just like fix it and make it better for her by saying, oh, I think you should do this or that or the other thing, right? So that's first, just energetics, always so important, right? How are we holding the space? How are we trusting ourselves and our clients? How are we honoring who they are? And then, you know, what I heard as you shared the process is that you really took leadership and held the space for her to come back into her body, which is a way of coming back into the here and now and resourcing from the here and now versus being caught by the then and there, because all that response that she was having to you of like, I'm impatient and just tell me what, you know, right? Like that's a response to a then and there moment that's being projected onto the present. And so Tracy was able to bring the client to the present moment, to feel the feelings, to be in the resource of the here and now, which helped her gain all the awareness that she gained. Really beautifully done. Thank you. Carlita.
I have a question based on how I tried to apply this with a client. Yeah. It was not going to be possible to get lighthearted enough, I felt, to go there. So she was afraid. I was seeing, like, I could call it the shadow of the fool. She's staying with a partner that she felt some emotional betrayal with almost a year ago now. She decided to stay with him, but it was from a place initially of attachment, and now it's from a place of freedom and trusting, like, that he's, like, she has no reason right now to be worried, but this part of her is terrified of having a fool made of herself. She says if she found out, it would be one thing, but it's that not knowing in the moment if she's being a fool, if she's, you know, and it was trying to bring that piece out into shadow, out of the shadow, was, it was just too heavy. And we wound up taking it through a different direction and arriving somewhere, but it was just like, I don't know if that's a question of knowing when to use this technique, yeah, or if there's a way to bring it into lightness. Cause it was just like, when we tried to explore it as the fool, like there was no light side to it for her. It was just dark. It was heavy.
Yeah. Cause it was so scary. Right. So in those moments, as the practitioner, remember hyper hypo.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The fool might be for that client so far, like they're, you know, really, really heavy. But what about the opposite of the fool? Like trying to be on top of things all the time and control the situation and know exactly what's going to happen and be in the know, right? That might be a more lighthearted place, or safer, right? Lighthearted is really code word for safe here, in a way, like a safer place for the client to explore first. And kind of move into it, and necessarily you'll always get to the one from the other. So the when you remember hyper hypo, the opposite of the thing that feels so scary can often be a back door and an easier way into the heavier piece. Does that make sense what I'm saying? Yeah,
could you tie that together about how that's a back door into it?
Yeah. So you could, for example, do the second technique that we looked at, right? Like get into where in the room would the one that needs to control everything and know everything, you know, like whatever she named as the opposite of the fool, put that on steroids, get into that one, have fun with that one, right? Like start to talk with that one. And then you can like slowly, so what is it like from this place, hyper control one, what are some things that you see about the one that's opposite of you, the fool? Like what are some things that you want that one to know? Or what are some things, right, that one? So now we're already kind of like opening a dialogue, right? And then that might be enough, but then maybe if you see there's an opening for the client, you can say to the client, all right, how to that fool place? What fool want to respond to the hyper-controlled one? You know, don't make it a big thing, move into your body, but, right? Like, okay, like now, so then where is the fool? What does the fool want to say to that one, right? So you can kind of like move and manipulate it in.
That's great.
Another thought just for you and everyone of like, if it feels so, so heavy to get into the fool, if the client is willing to be like, what is the most ridiculous, like when you think of the fool on steroids in the most ridiculous way, like if it were to dress up for Halloween, what is that fool? Like, what does that one look like? And then go from there asking questions. Don't go into the somatics right away. Ask it. And how the energy that you ask the questions with can sometimes, right? Energy follows energy, not always, but sometimes it can then help dictate that lightheartedness and make it more safe. What are you hearing that's clicking for you, Carlita, or feeling important for you here?
Just starting with, you can bring that more playfulness into the one that she's identified with also, which I think for some reason in the moment that I don't know why that felt cut off to me in a way or something. I think I was having a hard time visualizing for myself, like, what is that hypo one, I guess. So it just didn't occur to me to like play with that. So what's a way that you'd be like, okay, so we see this thing that you don't want to be, like, how would you introduce like bringing her into the exaggeration of where she is, the one she's with, the hypo.
The one that she doesn't want to be.
The one that she's identified with, like the hypo, the controlled one, that sort of stuff. Like, how do you start to bring it to, like, let's explore.
Yeah. Control. So first of all, Stacey offered a great phrase earlier. Let's play with this. Are you willing to play with this? Right. Or let's have some fun. Is it, you know, is it okay for us to see if we can have some fun with this? I like, as we looked at in the treat, using words like caricature, you know, like if this were just a caricature, total comedy of itself.
Mm-hmm. What would so it? Same way. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Got it. Thank you. Yeah. I feel like that for some reason, it just wasn't occurring to me to like go into the hypo first, even though it felt too edgy, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's always no. And I mean, that's why I'm pointing out for you and everyone, we want to keep that in mind, is like the spectrum. If one part of the spectrum, the client's not ready for, pick another part of the spectrum and then see, even if you don't end up getting all the way into the fool. Okay. Now we're being conscious of, so, right, like we've taken the next step in, we're starting to poke holes. I love the phrase that Tracy used earlier of the invisible energy, right? Now we're you know, maybe we haven't poked all the holes, but we're starting to poke holes into the invisible energy.
Thank you.
Yeah, great question. Good. Who else? Any questions? What do you want to add? What are you seeing and learning from this conversation? What else wants to be looked at or shared or spoken? Who's been doing the homework, the journaling homework, or any other setting aside time to work with your shadow and own it more and make friends with it more and accept it more? And how has that been going for you? Or if you haven't, but you've wanted to, what's been going on for you there, Mindy?
I've done some of the journaling, which I really liked. It's interesting. But very easy to get caught up in, oh my God, I didn't do it today, or I didn't, you know, the whole perfectionist thing. So that's been a really interesting thing for me, because I do want to do it, but realizing it doesn't mean I had to do it on that day. So I will keep coming back to it. So some of it, like, I want to, and some of it, like, it's enough and I need to let it sit for a while and then come back to it again. And with the collage, I have it partially done and I got to do, well, it doesn't look right. It's not the way it's supposed to look. I thought, no, this is ridiculous. You know, I need to let it sit. And I figured I don't have to have it done by a certain time. So that's been a really interesting experience for me, to allow things just to sit and be able to come back to them.
I love that. It feels not exactly the shadow that you were working with, but kind of an offshoot of it. So that's awesome. Yes. Don't do your homework like the good student. Be selfish in doing it in your own time.
Yes, I definitely got caught up in be the good girl. And and I'm like, nope, that's not happening. So thanks.
Stacey.
I felt like even though I didn't do journaling, I felt compelled to go review all of my journals from my whole life. And I've often thought I need to burn them and get rid of them because they're so full of crap and anger and processing, and I would die if they fell into the wrong hands. But going through, and I've moved a lot, and I always kept my journals. They were like in my bedroom in a special spot where people couldn't see them. And I cataloged them and went through from my first little Hello Kitty journal to my college journals, and then found, and just as I was looking through and like putting years on them so I could see, I have a lot of work. A lot of that deep work that I thought was at first just anger and, you know, process-based, not really result-based, there was a lot of gold in there. I started taking photos on my phone of all the paintings and sketches, and I found one in particular that I laughed at because it was this beautiful painting of a flower, and I had written at the bottom, "Crazy ladies." And I don't know where that came from, but, you know, and then I found lots of other drawings and paintings from art school and from therapy that I had been in, where I was actually seeking counseling to have someone tell me that I wasn't crazy. I spent a lot of money on understanding how the mind works and changing my thoughts and transformational experiences. And it's always been there. And I haven't done the homework exercises per se, but I felt like I went with what was had the biggest charge, because I feel like the journal, the retreats that I've been to and the workshops that I've been in have been training me in what I want to offer. The questions that I ask myself may be what my ideal clients are struggling with and asking themselves. And it might be obvious to everybody else, but it's like I said before, like the blinders coming off to people who are, you know, and this is in business, this niching down into who my ideal clients are and what I'm really offering, that clarity, I think, is right there. And it feels like I'm on the verge of really creating this signature program that is what I'm here to do and what I've been sitting on for years, and gathering up all of that training and distilling down that wisdom that I found in the mess, in the searching within myself for that validation that I'm not crazy. That craziness is inherited. It's not mine. I thought I was crazy because I had narcissistic, emotionally unavailable parents. You know, most people did. But I mean, we're in an evolutionary phase of waking up to that emotional intelligence. And this is something that I can help people with. And that comes from those relationships, understanding relationships, where you show up, where you're not showing up, where you don't have freedom. So yeah, that was a lot.
That process, it feels like another, like, oh, you're almost there with the ideal client and the messaging. You're so close. It's amazing. And the of everything that you said, the piece that is really kind of sticking with me the most, I just want to reflect back in case it's valuable, is that you found that drawing of the flowers and the way what you said, Stacy, is they were beautiful. Flowers were beautiful. And you had named it Crazy Ladies.
And just as you were talking, I remember back over the year, whenever I would share and my dreams and shadows, there was this difficult moment where the shrapnel turned into flowers, or the vines on the wall turned into flowers.
And the crazy is part of that, right? Like to get to have the flowers. Part of crazy is part of what fuels that, like all the beauty of it and the power of it.
Beautiful. Tracy.
So I'm not sure if this is to be shared here or if it's better to be shared in the group. I'm good either way. But what I noticed was connecting with my shadow, even though like my mind is like, oh, it's about speaking my voice. It also feels like befriending my shadow, right? Like we befriend the fear and really connecting with the highest wisdom of the shadow allowed some confusion to dissipate and to release from me, which I'm so grateful for because, you know, I'll speak for myself. I can do all the things, right? It's like, as long as I know the steps and do all the things, but my shadow was teaching me like, Tracy, when you can just come back to your inner self, into your inner knowing where all the magic is and allow yourself to be within the mystery and let it be okay. Let the unknown actually be a beautiful thing versus being that, oh, the mystery, like I want to know all the things. It feels like it just allowed some confusion and it allowed confusion to leave. And it also allowed me to look at the mystery of it being like this beautiful space of knowing, right? It's almost like in the mystery is where I'm really sinking into the knowing, right? Because I'm allowing myself the time and the space to honor the mystery.
Yes, I love it. So, I mean, two things I want to reflect back about what you're sharing is what you just shared for your own process feels so parallel to what happened with your client and the way that you held space for her and the needing to know and then finally being with the mystery. So I love the synchronicity and the mirroring of that. And then this might be too meta. So if it is, or like, it doesn't make sense, just drop it, but I'll just offer it because it's coming up for me as you're talking. You know, the shadow that you have been working on is the know-it-all and allowing yourself to be more in the know-it-all. And this is what I have to say. And this is my clarity. And here are my opinions, which is awesome. And what I'm hearing you, what from the piece that you just shared is actually in order to be in the place of being willing to express all that you know, a piece of that work is also being comfortable with the not knowing, with the, when you're not the know-it-all and the places that you're not the know-it-all and loving all of that as well. That land?
Yes. It does, because the not knowing for so long, I made it to be this wronged archetype.
Yes.
Like, you're wrong for not showing me, like, what's going on? Like, how many more ways do I need to tell you I'm ready to be, to know it all, right?
That's right. Yeah. So it's like the claiming of that part of the parts of you that don't know and aren't meant to know. And that actually allows so much more empowerment in the know-it-all for all that she does know.
Yes. And this is a little meta too, but in human design, my throat and my G center are both defined, and our G center is our space of identity and self, right? And then of course our throat is how we express. So it's almost like my shadow has been saying, I've just been waiting for you to figure out that you already are this thing and you don't need to jump through the hoops and do all the things to be the thing. You are the thing. And it's time for you to own that.
Yes.
And express. So thank you.
Beautiful.
So and the other thing is about the invisible energy feels really, really big for my business somehow. Like it feels really relevant to the language I'm speaking to others. I'm not exactly sure how so far, but I'm allowing myself in to be in the mystery of that.
Yes. Beautiful. I feel like there's something there more for you too. Good. Mindy.
I was just listening to you and Tracy talk and something popped up and I thought I'd share it. I realized how judgy I am about my shadow. Because I realized, like, I've had these thoughts go through my head, like, oh, well, at least that was my go-to and not the self. Like somehow, like, I'm saying, well, this was a much better, you know, more acceptable place for me. You know, like,
well, you just poked another hole in your shadow.
That's so silly. Like, I can feel better about myself because at least I went to that destructive one than that destructive one. You know?
At least I hurt myself all those years instead of hurting other people around me.
Exactly.
I thought, which is at the core of all of it to begin with.
Yes, which is so ridiculous. Well, where the hell did that come from? Anyway, I just thought if it helps anybody, I just, again, the humor in it and just being aware of it. And like you said, once you see it, it's really hard to unsee.
Yes.
Which I think is actually very helpful. So
beautiful. Good. I share this because I think everyone will be interested, and also specifically for you, Mindy, because I know we have some shared background. You know, a lot of sometimes shadow pieces, they come, as we looked at in the retreat, they come from so many places, but some of it is also cultural. And in the Jewish background, there is so much this like concept of righteousness and like, and being good, you know, and I was speaking a little bit at this retreat, like Hitler bad, right? Like, and so, you know, and all the sages and the rabbis good, you know, and there's such this polarization. And anyway, and Deborah, I can't remember if I shared this with you, but so I am, as I've been, you know, doing all of my own shadow work all of these years, short story is a friend of mine who teaches memoirs finally put me in her class for free. She's like, it is time for you to write your memoir. And that's it. You're in my class, done, period, over. You know what I mean? Anyway, so I've been writing over the last couple of months, and the name of my book, I'm sharing this top secret, everyone. So, but I think it'll help. The name of my book is a Yiddish word, schlecht. And what schlecht means, and I heard this all growing up, is bad to the bone. Like, you, my mother said it repeatedly. Like, anytime I didn't pay enough attention to her, I was schlecht. Even when I wasn't, you know, when I wasn't being the best good girl I could be, I was schlecht. Same as all the villains in the world. And it, like, it seeps into us, right? Which is what you're saying, Mindy. Like, at least I wasn't being schlecht every, you know, like, but then how are we to that ourselves? Anyway, the reason why schlecht is the title of my book is because I am in a place where I am so proud to be schlecht in all of the ways that I am. Like, I have found so much of myself in it and my willingness to be that thing that was so verboten for so long. I just hope that is helpful for everyone. All right. Anything else that wants to be shared before we wrap for today? Yeah, Mindy, did you want to?
Just real quick, I was wondering, did you share the embody thing with other sacred depths? Retirees, graduates.
Not yet. I'm going to end of April.
Because I was talking to someone, they had mentioned something about it. I said I didn't, I said I was sure it was going to come out, but anyway. Okay.
Yeah, I will. It took a few more weeks.
Okay.
Deborah. Oh, you're on mute. Or I can't hear you.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't have my mic on. Thanks. I was going to say, I'm kind of just beaming here. I was so sad to have missed the retreat in person. And, but just listening to those of you who share today, it's so rich and reminders for me of, I did the retreat last year virtually. So I was just going back and looking at some notes also, but just the richness of this and that everybody's experiencing. So I just want to thank you all for how you shared and what you've processed and what you are learning. And Joanna, very excited. The book and Bad to the Bone, Schlacht, word I hadn't actually heard before. Sounds really great. Totally good.
You now that I said it, I'm gonna have to write it, right? Like, you all know it now.
It's really part of it. I'm writing a book also, and like, this part of what I'm doing is like telling a lot of people that I'm writing it so that I feel that much more accountable to getting it done, because there's moments where it's like really fun and then other moments where I'm like, I don't know that I, the shadow, the self-doubt comes in. Who do you think you are? Why are you writing this? Yeah, so absolutely. Thank you. Great to see everybody.
Right. I'm so glad that you shared, Deborah, too. I figured it would be a good refresher from last year. And Kristen, absolutely, about the same thing is true with Christianity. I feel like Christianity and Catholicism have their own brand of it. They're all related, but they each have their own brand. And Carlita, yes, I think that's how it's spelled in English. Mindy.
Sorry, this is just a quick kind of thing. I was just saying to you, Bad to the Bone, you remind me of ZZ Top, the band. All three guys are Jewish. Anyway, so that's bad to the bone.
Yeah, Bad to the Bone.
Yeah.
So good. All right.
I have a question that's unrelated to what we've been talking about all day, but if it's okay to ask it here, like Stacy, feel like I'm doing this with my niche and just not quite on it. It's like I'm close, but I'm not quite there. And I'm just going to read what I'm looking for. And if you or someone you know fits this, I'm doing some ICA interviews that are 30 minutes or so. If that's okay. So I'm looking for a few socially and environmentally conscious women between the ages of 40 and 60, plus or minus a year or two, who would say they're also struggling with the current state of the world, possibly still grappling with all the ways the pandemic affected society and their lives, and also going through personal challenges common to women in midlife, like loss, feeling like they're the filling in a sandwich between caring for their kids and their parents in the midst of a crisis of faith, or just simply juggling a busy life. So I'm looking for people that fit in that ICA so that I can ask them, kind of like what Stacy was talking about, what they want, because I know what I want to give them. I know what they need, or that's in my realm of things that they need, but I don't know what they want. And also, because I'm so isolated, I also, like, I don't even know if people are still thinking about the pandemic. I know people are still thinking about the state of the world in general, because things keep happening that are enraging and sad and all that, but the pandemic itself, is that still even, are we all just like,
right, is that a thing?
Putting it, yeah.
I love that you're putting the question out there. And, you know, just for everybody doing interviews with people to find language, to find what's important for them, to get more targeted, like Kristen is doing, such a great idea. So I'm glad you're putting it out there. And I know you had shared in the public Facebook group. I'm glad to see some more specific examples of the difficulties of midlife. I feel like you could even share one or two more. The last two, I think, got a little vague, because I think there are, I don't know, maybe it's just me. I am in midlife. So there, you know, like, there are specific things. And some of the ones you mentioned are great, you know, but some others I would just throw out that might be helpful for people to identify themselves in is like how our bodies are changing, and not, you know, like just not understanding where we fit in, or, you know, to our identity, to beauty, you know, health, like all of the things with the ways that our bodies are changing.
Yeah. And for me, it's more the emotional pieces of that that I can help with and not so much the physical.
Part of that is
I don't know how to word that.
Work on it and I'll help you. I think in this moment, I'm not going to get there, but
yeah,
I feel like that is for a lot of women between 40 and 60, a big thing for people that have had kids in their households, leaving the house, empty nesting, what's the identity, and also what's the identity for some, not for everyone, but I think for some people, it's like, I don't know, I'm slowing down a little bit in some areas of my life that I've put so that have meant everything to me. So who am I now? And do I still hold value? Anyway, those are just some other things I would throw in there that I think will be helpful to catch some people in that demographic. And if anybody else has any other thoughts on that, please share with Kristen.
I would ask Kristen, what are some of the specific emotional problems? What are some of the words you would use to describe what the women are feeling?
Would use overwhelm, but I've talked to some people who don't relate with that. I would use anxiety, but I've talked to people who feel like that's a weak word if they admit they're anxious. So I don't know what words my ICA are using to describe those. And I feel like a lot of the words that I use are because I've been in the emotional world for, 2 decades. So it's easy for me to talk about them. Not always easy to access them, but easy for me. I have words for stuff. And Brené Brown says that most people only recognize mad, sad, and angry. And I would argue that they only recognize sad if they're crying.
Well, that's interesting, because as you're talking, I'm thinking similar things. What are some of the tangible habits, actions that come out of emotions that they can identify with?
I kind of feel like that's why I'm struggling, because I don't know what those are for other women. And I feel really isolated. I have 3 friends that I talk to on a regular basis who fit into that thing. And so I just don't know. I want to be more aware.
Yeah.
And I read a lot. And then I try to use those words and my friends are that doesn't resonate with me. So
I think speaking to other people is a really good idea, doing those interviews.
Kristen, I really like your idea of tapping into what the overwhelm or sadness or people are feeling for just from the state of the world. I think right there, that's a hook, because I think people think they are feeling something. They may not even know what it is.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering, maybe it's all about making sense of it. I don't know. What do they want to feel? Or, and how do you make sense of all this? Or, keep it from the overwhelm from affecting everything in your life.
Yeah. And that's where I was going with my grief retreats that I did. I did one 12-week grief program. And that's really what we dove into, and the results were good. And then I tried to do another one and I didn't get anybody to sign up. And so I'm kind of back to the drawing board again. How do I speak to that in a way that because maybe that's not the entry point, because it's kind of heavy and people are not going around saying, oh, yay, a grief retreat. That's not what I want to spend my time on. But they are saying something and they're feeling it, right? I know they're feeling it.
Yeah.
But they're mostly pushing it down because it feels overwhelming and they don't want to deal with it. So they're staying really busy and they're, watching lots of TV or whatever. They're doing a lot of things, but they're not accessing those emotions that I know are there. And all the work that Joanna does, there's so much energy that's caught up in shoving that stuff down that when you release it, it allows you to have more vitality, really. So, and that's the work that I do. And then I hear that people also want like a roadmap for the future, which is also something I have to put that together, but I have so many pieces of that I can. But really it's the emotional work that I've been doing and that I am good at and that I want to help people do, because I know it's out there, but they're not wanting to look at it.
I'm curious to see, you know, what people say when you get to them. And then last piece for now, I think this piece that you were just talking about, Kristen, about vitality, it may not be exactly that word, but I think that is probably a top of mind thing for a lot of people in your demographic. And that might be the front door messaging. Instead of like, here, do this grief work.
It's right.
Like pathway, like vitality here, come, let's explore, let's get you more vitality for you. And grief is one of the pieces that support that, but it's not at the front door. So.
Which is funny because that goes back to the word I was using 20 years ago. It all comes around, just like you were saying, Stacy. Like I have journals and all this stuff too. And like, it's always fun to go back and see like, well, these, like I probably am an expert in so many of those things because I've been researching them for 20 years and they say 15 minutes a day and you'll be an expert in five. So there's a lot of expertise floating around there. Okay. Thank you for that. And you can find it on my, if you're not friends with me, or if you are friends with me, you can find it on my, a link to the ICA interview thing on my Facebook page, my personal. I can put it in here too, actually, if that helps.
Well, everyone, I am sending you all a ton of love. I will hopefully see you before our May retreat. If you need anything, let me know. Keep on working with your shadows and spotting them and doing the work. And I'll talk to you all really soon. Bye.
Thank you all. Bye.